Good evening, class. We're about to start another good lesson. I'm about to try to fill you in from last week. Last week we dealt with the revelation as being the primary credential for authority. But here we're gonna further on this lesson on revelation. We dealt with Moses' character last week. How God had developed Moses in a certain way. Moses was broken in so many ways. God developed him that way on a purpose, for a purpose, so that he'd be able to handle his position of authority properly and be able to withstand everything that was challenging him, that was going to come against him during those times in the wilderness. So if you want to keep up with today's class, turn to page 127 in your textbook, and we're going to begin this segment here, Revelation, the One Credential of Authority. And we're going to begin reading first statement. And he said, "And Jehovah spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tent of the meeting." Not to prelude this, we understand that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses' position of authority about this Ethiopian woman that Moses married, saying he ought not to marry an Ethiopian woman. If you read the beginning of the chapter in the Bible, that would be number 12, you will see the whole picture of the story. But now God began to deal with them with the words that they spoke during that particular time in Moses and Miriam and Aaron's life. And it was a test to Moses, it was a test to Miriam, and it was a test to Aaron about how to handle authority. And Moses passed the test because of the training that he had. So let's go down the line of the textbook. It says, suddenly means unexpectedly. Aaron and Miriam may have spoken against Moses many times, but now abruptly, God called the three of them to the tent of meeting. Now, I'm trying to paint a scene now. They spoke their words. They spoke their mind to Moses. And like Brother Nee said, there probably was a lot more to be spoken that was still hidden inside their heart. And a lot of times, class, just like an iceberg, you only see the tip of the iceberg. But they tell me two-thirds of the iceberg sits beneath the surface of the water and is hidden. So I'm saying sometimes when people speak rebellious words, we only see the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more. Everybody says so much more. So much more yet hidden in their heart, yet to be spoken. And that's what God deals with. Not primarily the word that come out of their mouth, but there's so much more that is within their heart that they yet to be spoken, which are rebellious words that have to be spoken, have to be dealt with. Sometimes God deals more with what you haven't spoken that's in your heart than what you have spoken, because God knows what's unspoken in your heart. And so we got to deal with what you hear. But God deals with the things you don't hear and don't see. God knows everything. God deals with the content of a person's heart. So suddenly God brought these three before them. And I use my spiritual imagination, class, sometimes when I'm reading the Bible. What do you mean spiritual imagination? I put myself in that place, in that scene, in that setting. And what I'm seeing, or what I've seen in the past, was that Moses heard these words, but when God called the three of them to come to the tent of the tabernacle, because he called all three, you know, when I was a young boy, you know, and we messed up, my brother and I would mess up and do some things that we didn't have no business doing, and we could call out Your dad will call Bordigo. Anyway, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, we're going to see who's going to get it. We're going to see who's going to get it. And so because you think you're in the position of right, you think your other brother or the other person is going to get it. But that's what Aaron and Miriam were thinking. Now we're going to see that Moses ain't the only one here from God. Now we're going to see God just didn't call me and Aaron. He called Moses too. Now we're going to see. Sometimes Christian always got it in the back of their mind. Now we're going to see. Well, let's see. Well, let's see then. So many who rebel against authority do so outside the tent. It is very easy and convenient to criticize at home. Even so, everything will be cleared up in the tent of the meeting. Now, I saw something else but the tent of the meeting. You see, Satan is trying to rob the body of Christ in these latter days. See, how is he trying to rob the body of Christ? You know, because of the pandemic, everybody, well, not everybody, but some of the members still want to stay at home and watch it online and watch it through the internet. But you see, that's not the tent of the meeting. It's okay. It's okay if you got to do that. You see what I'm saying? You know, some of you are not physically here at Word of Life. So my goodness, the ministry online is a blessing to you. But when you got members that can come to the church and doesn't come to the tabernacle, to the tent, I'm calling the tent of tabernacle, then a lot of times they can't get in the real presence of God. Sometimes things go on in the real presence of God that don't come across the internet. What I'm talking about? I'm talking about atmosphere. Sometimes the presence, the congregation, don't forsake the assembly yourself, creates an atmosphere among the body of Christ that you can't pick up on the internet. You can't pick up on Roku TV. You can't pick up on YouTube. No, you have to be in the tent of the tabernacle. And so when God called him to the tent of the tabernacle, you see, people feel free to say a lot of things at home. Because a lot of times they say things that rebellious thing, and it can't be judged sometimes like they should be because they're not at the tent of the tent of the meeting. So that's why Satan tried to rob the church so you don't get all the full conviction. I hope I'm helping somebody clear. You don't get the full conviction of the Holy Ghost if you're not in the tent of meeting. So God said, you come to the tent of meeting. I could talk to you right here. God said, because he told him, come, you called him three. Didn't he talk to him then? Didn't he say, you three come out? Yeah, he did. He said, come out, you three. But come on to the tent of the meeting. I could have spoke to you right here, but there's a certain presence over there. Hope you get what I'm saying, class. The tent of the meeting is so important that you go to your tent of the meeting. Present yourself before the presence of God. Put yourself in the midst of the body of Christ, in the congregation of the Lord. Put yourself in that atmosphere. Put yourself under that atmosphere and that anointing that when God blanketed the place, when God present, filled the tent of meeting. You know what I'm talking about. So at the tent of the meeting, God always cleared a lot of things up in the tent of meeting. And so sometimes you can't get as far as you want to go because you can't hear everything you're supposed to hear or experience everything you're supposed to experience until you come to the tent of meeting. Now, let me go on here. I can get stuck there easy. As the three came out to the tent, the Lord spoke to Aaron and Miriam, hear now my words. You see it? See it? God gave them an opportunity to let them hear his word on a personal level. You see it? Before they heard his word through Moses. It came through Moses. Moses heard the word from God, and Moses a lot of time would respond that word to Aaron, and Aaron would present it before the people. He said, Aaron's going to be your mouth. Going to be my mouth. Going to be your mouth. You're going to be as God to Aaron. Aaron's going to be your mouth. Now, that's going back in Exodus when God first called Moses during the burning bush, when Moses started complaining, saying he can't even speak. Yeah, sure did. Now, the Lord asked them to come out and hear his word, revealing the fact that they had never before heard God's word on a personal level, Claire. And Aaron and Miriam had never known what God was saying on a personal level, because God didn't speak to them on a personal level. You see, they got revealed words come from Moses. They got word that it came down from God to Moses to them. You see it? This is what the first time the Lord spoke to them, we're talking about directly, and it was not in revelation, but in reproof. You see it? Because God wasn't speaking to them in revelation, because he didn't call them in revelation. He called Moses in revelation. So Moses was able to bring the revealed will and plan of God. You see it? So God didn't speak to them directly, but indirectly, but yet directly through Moses. I hope you hear me, Claire. And it was not in revelation, but in reproof. Not the manifestation of God's glory, but the judgment of their conduct. Wow, I highlighted the word conduct. But the judgment of their conduct. You see it? And so God sometimes judges your conduct. Hear not my words. Means that not only had the Lord not spoken before, but that furthermore, he was indicating that he wanted to be allowed to speak this once, since they had already been speaking for so many days. You who are well able to speak, hear now my word. That's what he was saying to Aaron and Miriam. Yeah, you're able to speak. Yeah, you got a right to speak. But then again, you don't have a right to speak. So those that think we got a right to speak, you don't have a really right to speak against authority. Because God's going to judge. Yeah, you can speak. But God's going to judge every word you speak. And God's going to deal with every word you speak, just like he dealt with every word that Miriam was the forerunner. Miriam was the leader of Moses leader of Aaron. She spoke and Aaron just agreed with her. And now that's another point. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes just your agreement is rebellion. What do you mean? Well, when God dealt with Korah, a lot of the people gathered against Moses. And so everybody didn't say anything. But some of them, those that didn't say anything, stood in a position where there was an agreement. And some of them fell down into the open earth with those that had spoken because they were in agreement. You be mindful what you're in agreement with. Be mindful of your silence. Either yay, yay, or nay, nay. There's no neutral ground when it comes to rebellion. Be mindful. Speak up. If you're not for it, say, look, I'm not for that. But don't let your silence be misinterpreted as a yes. No, if it's not a yes, say, look, I'm not for that. That's not what I'm standing for. I'm dismissing myself from this meeting. I'm dismissing myself from this conversation. So don't let your quietness be saying I'm not part of this. It's gonna be taken as yes. Yeah. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. No in betweenness. I hope you understand what I'm saying, Claire. So even though Aaron may not have spoken anything, his silent agreement meant everything. So God accused them along with Miriam. Are you with me? But yet the punishment was different. You see it? But yet he still had to deal with it, with Aaron. But the punishment was different. Miriam became a leper. Aaron didn't become a leper, but the fear of Miriam become a leper, let him know that he was too close. You 1 millimeter from becoming a leper. You 1/8 of an inch from becoming a leper. So be mindful. And I hope none of you that close to becoming spiritually lepers. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you think. Yeah, yeah. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Yeah, that's right, Claire. So God's hear now my word. Now from this, we can safely conclude that the talkative are not able to hear God's word. Only the meek can do so. Well, what do I mean? Only the talkative, they already know what they're going to say in their mind. And when you're talkative, you say just about anything. You know, people that talk a lot, they're liable to say anything. It's dangerous. People that are dangerous, they're dangerously talkative. They just say whatever comes to mind. They don't even have time. Talkative people don't even have time to even judge their own words. You need to be able to judge your words. Judge what's coming out of your mouth. Pre-think or pre-listen. Pre-listen to yourself. Prepare what you say before you say it. And then you have a chance to let your spirit man kick in and judge everything and judge every thought that's about to come out of your mouth. Every thought come out of your mouth needs to be judged by the Holy Ghost. You see it? I've let some wrong thing come out of my mouth. I've spoken before I should have thought. I've said some things prematurely and come out of my mouth, and it was wrong and it was offensive. And I had to repent about them. I had to get it straight. Especially husband and wives. Yeah. You speak too fast, and then you don't speak the heart of God. You speak your natural flesh. Your natural flesh is a mess when it comes to speaking. It speaks what it feels, speak what it sees, it speaks to emotion. But when you speak to your spirit, you speak the things that are confident, things that are lovely. Things that are good report, things that are grace. Let your word be full of grace. Let your speech be seasoned with salt, the scripture says. Yep. Let it be a ministering word instead of destroying, manipulative, and I can think of some other description, word that destructive. It's so easy to speak destructive word. So clap. So class, always think about it. But Moses was one, and I just come from his training now, just coming those 40 years behind the mountain with those sheep and with his fallen on Jethro and with him being disciplined by God, with him being trained by God. See, sometimes I told you last week, don't neglect those years when you think nothing happening. God always training you. God always, take the lesson. Take the lesson, hide them in your heart. You may not need it now. Moses did not think he was gonna need this. Moses didn't know how meek he needed to be until this moment with Miriam and Aaron. Moses didn't know how much he had to keep his mouth shut and much as he wanted to say things. Moses was quick to respond. He killed the Egyptian. I mean, he just spoke his peace. He spoke his word freely. But that wasn't the same man here. This man that was in Egypt is a different man here in the wilderness. And this test came to Moses. It was a test to Aaron and Miriam. So Moses didn't talk as much. He was a changed man. And the book said it made no difference to him, whether he advanced or retreated, as long as it was of God. You see it? And it made no difference whether you win or lose an argument. See, sometimes we don't want to lose argument. We always want to be the right one. But just make sure that you might be wrong with the argument, but right with God. Just make sure you're right with God. You can lose an argument, but just make sure you're in right standing with God. Because the flesh sometimes don't want to die. Yeah, sometimes it's good to retreat. Retreat means to stand back. I watch some of these movies, you know, these battle movies, and then or police movies, they say, stand down. Sometimes we don't want to stand down. Sometimes we want to finish the fight. No, we don't have to finish the fight. Nope, just stand down, retreat. And sometimes that's hard to do. But just make sure everything you do is of God. You see what I'm saying? God spoke mouth to mouth with Moses, clearly and not in dark speeches. Such was God's vindication. You see, that's how God dealt with Moses. But he didn't deal with Miriam and Aaron like that. You see it? The revelation was given to Moses, not to Aaron, and not to Miriam. For it is those who meet God face to face whom God establishes as authority. You see, you got to understand the burning bush experience. The burning bush experience was more than just God showing himself to Moses. God revealed his presence to Moses. And when you get in God's presence, you turn into another man. God changed the whole nature of you. God turned the water in you to wine, if you understand that statement. God puts something in you and takes something out of you when you get into the present. That burning bush experience, God revealed himself to him. His I am-ness came into Moses. God breathed himself into Moses, and Moses became one with God at that particular time. So it was a revealed revelation and a revealed relationship. So Moses lived a revealed relationship. Everything that God dealt with Moses was revealed, you see it? So he lived a revealed life after the burning bush experience. He didn't live his own life no more. What kind of life he lived? He lived a revealed life. That kind of life is a supernatural life. And sometimes you don't always see that in people. It's a changed life. It's a revelation that you've been with God. It's a revelation that you've been in his presence. You see it? So revelation is God's valuation and measurement. Make a note of that statement. Revelation is God's valuation. That's how God evaluates you. And that's how God determines your authority. He evaluates, and your valuation of your authority comes through this revelation. And the measurement, what measurement mean? The extent of your authority. See, some people can have some authority, and some people can have more authority. The degree of your authority comes with the degree of the revelation that God gives you of that authority, or of his presence. You see it? The more God reveals himself to him, the more revelation he'll give to you. And some people have left revelation because they have left revealing. Revelation is everything. When God personified himself with you, he make you one with him. Are you with me, Claire? And that's how he measured the degree of apostle. My goodness. Yeah, we all have the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we all pray in tongues. Yeah, we all read the Bible. But why he walk in a certain anointing? Why Apostle Thompson walk in a certain anointing that I ain't seen another man personally yet upon this earth yet? Now, I haven't traveled extensively throughout the whole earth, but in my realm, in the realm that I'm in, I've never met a man as more anointed as he is. I've been to camp meetings. I've been to some meetings throughout the United States, some meetings. But I've been around some great men, and I can call the name, you'll know them. But yet I never saw the measurement of the revelation as is in Apostle Thompson. Or are you trying to put me forward? I'm going to tell you what I experienced. I'm going to try to tell you what I've seen and what I've understand. Even in this personal, even in your personal time with him. I spent some personal time with him in his home. But yet, that revelation still flowing through him all the time. That anointing flows through him all the time. You can't catch him as a natural man. My goodness, I wish I could explain to you what I'm saying. You're always reverent because of that the measurement of revelation that flows in him and through him. Is always upon him because of the measure of the revelation that he has with God. And that's what I said. I read the Bible. I pray in tongues. I think I have a certain amount of anointing with me, but I can't measure up because there's a greater anointing that's upon him that God entrusted him with. And that's why he's able to carry the greater calling. Oh, you understand what I'm saying, class? I'm not talking about the man. I'm talking about the office and talking about the anointing that God placed upon a man. They're all not the same. I don't know why people think everybody's the same. No, 1,000 times no. We're not all the same. We're not all the same. There are greater anointing and there are lesser anointing. There are greater authority and there are lesser authority. You see it? You see it? So Aaron walked in an authority, but you couldn't measure his authority with Moses because you see plainly. You see it? You couldn't measure Miriam's authority with Aaron because you could see the difference. They held different offices. Different offices carried different anointing. I'm trying to explain the best I can, Claire. May the Lord help me. Now, revelation is God's valuation and measurement. God measured your authority through revelation. Remember, I stayed there. I stayed there a little while because I tried to, because I'm trying to bring this point home to you, class. The how important revelation is. It's when God revealed himself to you at that particular time. You see it? You see it? Authority built on God's revelation and his estimation of a person is according to that revelation. What I said, I'm going to read it again. It's in your book. Authority built on God's revelation. On whose revelation? Moses' revelation? No, God's revelation. Sometimes people try to function on their revelation. Well, look at this revelation. Well, it may be a revelation, but is it God's revelation? On God's revelation and his estimation of a person is according to that revelation. Man, that's powerful. If God gives revelation, authority is established. But when his revelation is withdrawn, the man is rejected. Now, I got a good example for that one. If you remember King Saul, was the first king of Israel. But King Saul disobeyed God. And we see that 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, and we're trying to think it all started right there when he didn't slay all the Amalekites, when he kept the best of the sheep. No, it, little by little, rebellion starts in increments. Little by little, Saul began to sway and get away from God. Sometimes he had the opportunity to acknowledge God, and he didn't. But if you notice, David had the New Testament spirit. What do you mean? He saw God differently. He had a different level of anointing upon him. Saul was the people's choice. David was God's choice. And that was a different revelation was upon David. Another revelation of authority was upon David. David understood things at another measure. David understood things at a deep. There never was a time he fully obeyed God. There never was a time where he didn't. Where I couldn't read. I couldn't find a place where he didn't. Inquire of God before he did anything. He didn't. Now, I didn't say he was perfect. You see it? But he all, before he went to battle, Lord, should we go in this battle? Lord, should we do this? Lord, should we do that? You see it? And so, Saul was a perfect example right here of God withdrawing the anointing. And God gave authority, and that authority established. But when this revelation is withdrawn, the man is rejected. And that's what happens to God, to Saul. He withdrew his revelation. Now, how do God withdraw revelation? We're going to talk about it a little further. God withdraws revelation when the heaven closed, when you stop hearing from heaven. Saul stopped hearing from heaven. You know how I know? He went to a sorcerer to try to raise Samuel from the dead to give him a word. Now you know heaven was closed. God stopped talking to him. He went to this woman here, and she was a sorcerer. And Saul called up Samuel from the dead. Well, you call a familiar spirit up from the dead. I'm not going to that lesson. It's another lesson by itself. But my point is that Saul's revelation, what was drawn from him, and when it was withdrawn from him, his authority was withdrawn from him. He became an ordinary man with a title. Oh my goodness, what did I say? Saul became an ordinary man with a title. Don't you be like that. Don't you be an ordinary person with just a title. Titles don't go far without revelation withdrawn. Titles don't go too far without heaven open. No, you need an open heaven to walk in authority. And when that authority leaves you, I tell you what, heaven closes on you. You know it. You know it when you don't get anything fresh anymore from heaven. When you get warm over revelation. No, you need fresh revelation right out the bosom of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you sure do. I'm trying to read my pages now. It's getting a little blurry here because my eye getting a little watery. Now, if God gives revelation, authority is established, but when his revelation is withdrawn, the man is rejected. Now, understand what I said. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm repeating myself. Now, if we want, this book is so powerful, class. That's why I decided to just go line for line. I don't want to miss nothing because this book is of God. The revelations of God. Apostle pointed this book 30 years ago. Had all of us to read it when we were coming up through the ministry. And we read it. Not only read it, but we studied this book. The book taught us how to submit and how to not only submit, but how to walk in authority when you're given some authority, and how to know your measure of authority, where your authority stops and where your authority begins. No, I'll say it backwards. Where your authority begins and where your authority stops. That's important, class. You got to know that. Don't never overstep your boundary of authority. You get in spiritual trouble like that. You get in spiritual trouble. I told a man just yesterday, I said, when my apostle leave town, never once, when he said, Rhonda, you got it this Sunday, or you got it this Tuesday, or Wednesday, or whatever, never once that I wouldn't say anything particular you want me to teach on. I always want to be in vain, because I always represent, always recognize that no, you're not the one. No, you're not the one. Yeah. And so I learned that. If you hadn't learned that, you learned that class. Be submissive to your spiritual leader. No, you don't have no greater anointing. You might think you know more than him or her. You might think. You're just a thought. But if God placed you in authority, God would never give them more revelation than you. Nope. God would be an unjust God to do that. Now, so listen to this. Listen at this. I call it point number 17. I don't know where you at. It's just all in. I ungroup my lesson for my understanding, so I can separate thoughts when I'm teaching here. Maybe learn that. I take a book and I separate it. Even though I'm going down the line, I got certain things I pull in and certain things I pull. If you notice, I skip a whole page or more. Because that didn't fit this lesson here. It was good, but it didn't fit. I don't take everything in the book. Apostle taught that. Everything in the book, not for you. Everything in the book, not for me. So that's why I grouped my lesson and I tried by the anointing that's upon this school. Are you with me? If we want to learn to be in authority, we must pay attention to what is our state before God. What you mean? What's your state before God? How you living before God? You see? How your fellowship is before God. How your relationship is before God. How your prayer time is before God. How much you love him. How much you're willing to deny yourself before God. How much you're willing to give up. How you treating your wife. How you treating your children. How you treating your family as a whole. That's your state before God. If God is willing to give us revelation and to speak clearly with us, if we have face-to-face communion with him, then no one can eliminate us. God said, all right, you qualified yourself to be an authority. You see it? People don't realize it. You got to qualify for this. It got many people unqualified. If you can unqualify, you can qualify. What I'm saying, Claire, you can position yourself for authority. And what I'm saying, Claire, you can position yourself for promotion wherever you are. You want to be promoted, get more devoted. Yeah. God sees it in your pastor, see it. God sees it in your pastor, see it. God sees it in your members, see it. Everybody see it. God sees it. You determine your promotion with how you qualify yourself and your state before God. How you create your state before God. But if our communication above is severed and the heavens are shut, and though we were fully prosperous on the earth or on the outside, it would all come to naught. You see it? Some people developing the outward part, the part that look good, and not developing the thing that really good on the inside. Well, class, no, I can't get too far. I got one more statement I can read, and then they're gonna be the end of the class for the day. You're listening so good. Let's not this statement here, and I'm gonna mark this statement here so I know I stop here, and so we're gonna try to take off again from here. So I don't miss nothing here. An open heaven, listen to me, class, is the seal of God and the testimony of sonship. I can't go no further. An open heaven, that's what you want to keep open, is the seal of God on your life, on your ministry, you see, on whatever God called you to do, and the testimony of sonship. So, ask yourself the question, is the heaven open to me, or is it closed? And you evaluate yourself on that level. Now, class, you've been a good class, and I'll just see you next week. Good teaching you.